From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We have a very busy day ahead of us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are monitoring Election Day in Wisconsin and Florida, and there could be a very interesting development today, and we're going to be paying very close attention to a couple of things. Number one, voter turnout. Also, we're going to be paying very close attention to a couple of races in Florida. So you've got two congressional seats that are on the line. Now, I'm just going to jump out here on a limb. And it's a pretty safe bet, so I'm not taking any chances here, no risks. But the reality is the Republicans are going to win these seats. As a matter of fact, in one particular district, I believe this was Mike Waltz's, who's now National Security Advisor. So the race is, by the way, replacing Matt Gaetz and Michael Waltz. So Gaetz, or Waltz rather, his district went for Trump by 30 points. In November. So I think it's safe to say that whoever the Republican nominee is going to be, and we're going to be talking about him in just a moment, Randy Fine is his name, they're going to win that race. The issue here, and this is where you have to really pay close attention, is by what margin. Now, if the Republican squeaks out a win today, that could be a warning to Republicans that things are not looking good right now. And I'll explain what that means in just a moment. Now, in Wisconsin, this is very troubling because the Republican Party, the National Republican Party, really dropped the ball here. And you got to hand it to Scott Pressler. I know a lot of people, they have very strong opinions about Scott Pressler and his involvement in Republican registration efforts and things of that nature. But the guy's been very effective. And he's been boots on the ground, but the national Republicans have not been. And this Supreme Court election could very well impact the congressional redistricting that will happen in Wisconsin. And that could come back and bite the Republicans in the, derriere, the booty, as they say in Louisiana. So, this is going to be an interesting test. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's just a lot of movement behind the scenes in the Republican Party. And I found a fascinating story today, and I want to share with you from Politico. Now, Jonathan Martin, who is with Politico, has been talking to congressional Republicans. And the Republicans he's talking to are the moderates. And I would say that probably Don Bacon out of Nebraska, probably one of these people, but they're all off the record. And I know that some of you say, well, if it's off the record, then you can trust it. No, you can trust this. You got to trust me on this one, folks. There's a lot of unhappiness within the Republican world right now. And the reason why is because Donald Trump is not governing as a Republican. He is governing as a populist who is looking out for the working man. And that goes against the very fabric of the Republican Party. Republican Party, all about big business. The Republican Party and the Chamber of Commerce celebrating as manufacturing jobs went right across the border and into other countries. I was on the Instagram late last night, and I came across this story. Somebody did this Instagram story about a town named, I believe this was Cairo. It's in the Midwest, and the town has been all but abandoned, this area of the town. And the reason why is because the manufacturing left, and you have this once beautiful, beautiful town downtown, and it's now gone. It's empty. Nobody's there. And the reason why is because the jobs left. And it's the same story in many small towns and communities across America, where you have many American companies that decided to make their blue jeans, to make their tires, to make whatever they're selling overseas because of the cheap labor. And as a result of it, the American people have suffered. And Donald Trump has actually been standing up for those people. That is not a Republican idea. And so there's been a lot of pushback, but the Republicans know they can't really do anything because without Donald Trump, they don't win elections. And that's the concern here. When Donald Trump is not on the ballot, Republicans do not perform well at all. So anyway, Jonathan Martin from Politico, he's been talking to a lot of these congressional Republicans. And by the way, let me preface this. That's one of the problems that Speaker Mike Johnson's been having, is that he's getting a lot of pushback from these moderate Republicans who could blow up the whole thing. That's how tenuous all of this is. So anyway, Jonathan Martin talking to these congressional Republicans, and they're blaming all of the problems right now on Elon Musk. And these House Republicans are saying it is Elon Musk who is dragging down the Republican Party. And it's aggravating. It can be infuriating, and I would be infuriated, but I've been down this road so many times with the Republicans, I'm just not surprised by what I'm about to share with you. This is the headline. House Republicans say Elon Musk is dragging down party, rooting for special election massacre so GOP will bench him. So you've got Republicans that are hoping for failure today in these elections, and they're blaming Elon Musk. I'm going to read this to you because, again, April 2nd, Liberation Day, there's little that congressional Republicans and their counterparts in state capitals can do about Trump and his insistence on pushing inflation-spiking tariffs. He grips his party like no modern president, and they must accommodate every impulse. However, Musk has turbocharged the backlash to Trump and accelerated the revival of demoralized Democrats and independents appalled by the billionaire's cavalier attempt to slash the federal government. If they don't push the White House to cut Musk loose, Republicans are tempting a replay of 2017 and 2018 when Democrats scored gains in Trump's first term, but with twin targets for the left this time. The veteran reporter went on to note that one House Republican told him they're actually rooting for their party to struggle in key races in Wisconsin and Florida, so they will bench that Trump will bench the billionaire. So if things go south tonight, they're going to try to place all the blame on Elon Musk. Martin goes on to say, an April 1st massacre would be a beautiful thing, said one of the Republican lawmakers, because it would rouse congressional Republicans to the damage Musk is doing and hand political capital to the lawmakers facing the most difficult races next year. Quote, there will be 26 or so people watching Tuesday, and they'll decide how they want to be part of the team going forward, alluding to the most endangered GOP lawmakers. So what Martin is saying here is that there could be a coup afoot within the House chamber. The GOP lawmakers grasp the political damage Musk is doing because the blank he puts up on the internet about government spending or savings and is wrong. But when it relates to their districts, it gets picked up by both their MAGA base and local media outlets, angering different blocks of voters. The other House Republicans, remaining somewhat more restrained, said the White House needs to effectively declare victory and thank Musk for his service. Elon's work needs to wrap up, and he needs to exit stage left. So there's a lot to unravel here. And I'm intrigued by all of this because I know this has been going on. That's why I can tell you that these Republicans are having these conversations. My question for you is this. Who do you think is responsible? I mean, if things go south tonight, who is to blame? Is it the Republican Party or is it Elon Musk? Who would you blame here? And they're saying that Elon is hurting the party. I don't find that Elon Musk is hurting the Republican Party. Elon Musk is going in and he is rooting out corruption. And the problem is a lot of these House Republicans and a lot of the Senate Republicans, they're all benefiting from all of this corruption. They're getting all sorts of pork being sent back to their home districts, and they don't want Elon to take that away. So I'm telling you, there is something afoot here, and we've got to keep our eye on it. But this is ultimately about who the Republican Party wants to be. As much as the Democrats are in, and by the way, the Democrats have pretty much imploded. They're over. They're done. However, these House Republicans, and there are some Senate Republicans, they could throw a wrench into all of this, and they will do it to save their bottom line. You know why they're upset at Elon? Because Elon is now about to investigate, and this came out on Sunday. Elon is now about to investigate why all of these lawmakers, many of whom are making $174,000 a year, are now multimillionaires many times over when their only source of income is the paycheck they get from the federal government. So you've got dozens and dozens of lawmakers. And keep in mind, there are some good-hearted people there. They go to Washington. They're working their butts off. Many of them are sleeping in their offices, showering in the House gymnasium. They go back home to their districts every weekend. Those are good patriots. But there are others, and there are a lot of them on both sides of the aisle that are using their positions in Congress to screw the American taxpayers while loading up their own bank accounts. And those are the people that Elon's going after. So my question is very simple. Is Elon hurting President Trump and the administration? And would you encourage Elon to stay put and keep rooting out all of the corruption? Now, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls. Coming up, we've got Ryan Walters, the state superintendent of Oklahoma. He's going to be joining us. He's declaring war on the atheist. It's going to be a great conversation. Dr. Ben Carson is going to be here, and Congresswoman Aaron Hochin from Indiana talking about the elections today, as well as the tariffs that go into effect on tomorrow. All right, again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/Starnes. That's angel.com/Starnes to join the Angel Guild now.
Todd, they're mad at Elon Musk because he's catching them. He's taking away their money. He's putting a stop to the cash cow. And so now everything's Elon Musk. And even the Republicans are in bed with this corruption. So this is why they don't like Elon Musk.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Mark from Florida, the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. And Mark is absolutely correct here. This, and it's really us against both political parties. That's what we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. And this is one of the reasons why I simply refuse to work off talking points on this radio program. It's outrageous. We don't carry water for anybody because they're all in bed together at some point. Let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Charles joins us. Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. Todd, I don't think Elon Musk is dragging down the Republican Party at all, at least not the base, the MAGA movement. I think we're behind Elon Musk. I think if the Republicans lose those seats tonight in Florida, and I'm like you, I don't think they will, but if it's close, okay, for that race in Wisconsin. Republicans like me are frustrated, one, because Congress is doing nothing. They have codified nothing into law in the last 100 days. They've only passed that one omnibus spending bill that just added $2 trillion to the debt. But they're just all talk. They're just getting ready to get ready. They don't do anything. They just want photo ops with President Trump to make themselves look good. But behind the scenes, they're not doing anything. And two, Todd, and to be honest with you, I'm a little frustrated with President Trump for not defying these activist judges' temporary restraining orders. I think he needs to throw down hard and say, you know what, issue a statement. I'm not going to obey any of these orders by these activist judges. This is judicial supremacy, not judicial review. Only the Supreme Court has that power. And I just think people want to see action. And if they do, I think you're going to see the base engage more, and we'll be able to hold on to our majorities in the midterms.
Here's what I see going on here, Charles, and you can tell me if I'm off base. Right now, our deficit, $36 trillion in debt. That's where we are as a nation right now. So we're talking about cutting, what, $2-3 trillion through the DOGE efforts? That's just a drop in the bucket. But my concern here, so all that to say, we need to cut every single bit of money we can, every single bit of it. And then we've got to find more to cut. But beyond that, my concern is, and I'm with you here, I don't know why Trump is refusing to, he should be defying these judges. My concern is that everybody has a short-term memory here in this country, and all of these efforts are going to get sidelined because of these judicial rulings here. That's a big concern I've got.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. I mean, every time President Trump issues an executive order, this is what they come back with. You know, Todd, one thing I wish he would do, and I've talked about this before, I wish that he would go before Congress, get a declaration of war, a formal declaration of war against the drug cartels that will allow him to get rid of these illegal aliens that are in our country, go after the cartels. It'll give him wartime powers. And that way, if a judge tries to block him, it's like, you know, to heck with you. I'm not going to listen to you. You have no authority in me exercise in my Article II powers of the Constitution.
You really have to hand it to Barack Hussein Obama. He knew what he was doing, and by putting all of these activist judges on the bench, and by the way, a lot of them got on the bench with Republican votes. As Lindsey Graham always used to say, well, that's just what we do. We've just got to, yep. If that's who the president wants, we've just got to close our eyes and just vote yes. We got to confirm. Well, you know what? That's the problem, is that we've got all these activist judges now, not to mention the ones that Joe Biden put on the bench. And we all know that Obama was in the back pulling the strings on all of this.
Oh, 100%. And Todd, notice all these activist judges, whenever they issue these temporary restraining orders, their orders are never rooted in law. It's just based on their political beliefs
that's
and opinions.
It. Yeah,
that's all it is. So if that's the point, why did we even have an election in November if one of 700 judges can set policy for the entire nation? Like I said, it's judicial supremacy, and Congress needs to defund these courts, abolish these courts if necessary, and President Trump just needs to defy them.
All right, Charles, appreciate that call, and we'll put it to the audience here. Folks, do you believe that President Trump should just defy these activist judges and just plow through? And is Elon Musk really the problem here? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, head over to ToddStarnes.com. We have some great stories for you to check out there. We'll be right back, America. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you gotta get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece MyTowel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. By the way, Elon and his team defunding the Institute for Peace, saying they did not do their job. So, well done, Elon Musk. But I'm telling you, they're going to get to the bottom of all of this. And Elon had been hinting yesterday that someone was going to be arrested today, and we're keeping very close tabs on this. Somebody was going to be arrested because of Social Security fraud. And it's pretty epic what Elon is hinting at. He said someone is going to be arrested today. He actually stole 400,000 Social Security numbers and personal information from the Social Security database, and was selling Social Security numbers in order for people to basically steal money from Social Security. Not only that, but the DOGE team has also discovered that the Democrats were giving millions of illegal Social Security numbers, and contrary to what they were reporting originally, they were registering the illegals to vote, and Elon has confirmed that illegals did in fact vote. So if you ask me, Elon Musk is doing a great service to the American people right now. Going back to 2014, and Elon was interviewed by 60 Minutes. And he was asked about a loan he received from the government for Tesla at the time. And Elon said, yes, absolutely. He did get the loan, but he actually paid it back, I think, 10 months ahead of schedule. He paid it back with interest. So Elon Musk, when you look at this man and what he has done for this country, he needs to be celebrated. This man came here as an immigrant, and he's creating jobs for American citizens. He's creating great jobs. And now you have people, for example, in Memphis, Tennessee, where we've just built a massive AI facility here. And Elon is investing hundreds of millions of dollars in the community, in Memphis of all places. And you've got these radical activists out there saying Elon is not welcome in Memphis, Tennessee. These people are completely unhinged. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Pam Bondi yesterday, she is playing hardball, ladies and gentlemen. Very excited to see this version of Pam Bondi. I will say this, we still don't have any of the Epstein files released, but that's a conversation for another day. Pam Bondi has decided to throw down against these domestic terrorists that are targeting the Tesla dealerships and Tesla owners.
Today, I'm proud to announce that the Department of Justice has unsealed federal charges against another Tesla attacker. We've charged Cooper Frederick in the firebombing of a Tesla dealership that occurred on March 7th in Loveland, Colorado. All of these cases are a serious threat to public safety. Therefore, there will be no negotiating. We are seeking 20 years in prison. The crime was committed in Colorado, and thanks to the great investigative work by the FBI, the defendant was arrested in Plano, Texas. Let this be a warning. You can run, but you cannot hide. Justice is coming.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe justice is coming, and I'm excited about this. So the guy that was arrested, his name is Cooper Joe Frederick, 24 years old. Now, the attorney general said there's not going to be any plea deal here, right? There's not going to be a negotiation. This guy's going to be found guilty, and he's going to have to serve the full 20 years in a federal prison. So Mr. Frederick, is about to become very popular in federal lockup. So this is the way you do it. And by the way, this is just these people, these domestic terrorists, they're not exactly the brightest bulbs. They haven't figured this out yet. The Tesla vehicles come equipped with cameras, and these cameras are activated when something happens. So they're all being captured on film and video, and all of this is being posted on X, and people are actually using social media to find out, to hunt these people down and alert local police. These people are as dumb as rocks. They have no idea that they're actually on candid camera. So anyway, Pam Bondi, good for you. Go get them. Throw them all in jail. And I don't care if they're 70, 80 years old. You do something like that, it is an act of domestic terrorism. You go to jail for 20 years. That's how you deal with this. And by the way, it has to be public. We've got to send a very clear message. We're just not going to tolerate this sort of lawlessness in America. I mean, geez, Lou. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Oh, I've got to share this story with you. Our friends over in Alabama, 1819 News, great publication, and they got word of a situation at Auburn High School. That's in Auburn, Alabama. And it seems to me this would be the last place that you would expect to be celebrating Trans Visibility Day, right? Now, some of you out there are probably wondering, all right, what is Trans Visibility Day? Well, it has nothing to do with Pontiac Firebirds. This is actually about transgenderism. So this notion that boys can become girls and girls can become boys. So anyway, the students there at Auburn High School were encouraged to wear ribbons in support of transgender people. The event was sponsored by the school's LGBT, QIA Plus Club. And I think Two-Spirit is in there as well. Anyway, parents very upset about this, and they reached out to 1819 News. Donna Skipper is the president of the Republican Women of East Alabama. That's a group you don't want to tick off. I'm just saying. And Donna says, hey, look, this is nuts. Schools need to be focused on the basics of education instead of all of this woke ideology. And it's true. Parents saying that it's not the school's place to promote any sort of radical sex theories. They need to be teaching the kids how to read, how to write, how to do basic science. And clearly, if the children are confused about whether they're boys or girls, they might want to take a remedial class in human anatomy. Just saying. By the way, the Trump administration issued an executive order banning public schools from teaching all of this nonsense. And by the way, according to the President of the United States, when it comes to the United States of America, sex is male and female. Everything else was created on social media platforms. That's the way you do it. So we'll see what happens here. Alabama, though, I'm fairly certain that your governor and the good people of Alabama, everybody's like a church-going person in Alabama, so I'm fairly certain they're going to get this figured out before the feds have to step in and defund Auburn High School in Auburn, Alabama. A few weeks ago, I told you about this story, and I want to get this out because we have a jam-packed show, but I've got to share some great news with you, and let me just say this about our audience. You guys are activists. You're on the front lines. And when I share these stories of conservatives under attack or Christians under attack, you guys are immediately sending out emails. You're on the phones. You're making calls. You're letting people know about what's happening. And you're also calling these elected leaders saying, hey, you've got to get this figured out. So a few weeks ago, I told you about this policy in Los Angeles County, California. Now, the Christians were told they could no longer congregate on beaches for worship services. if you wanted to get out there and smoke the devil's lettuce, yeah, you can do that. You can smoke a doobie. If you wanted to get out there and play volleyball, yeah, no, that's no problem. You can play volleyball. If you want to have a party, you want to throw a kegger, you can go out on the beach and throw a kegger. But if you wanted to worship Jesus, well, that's a big no-no. The county stepped in and said beaches were for parties and sunbathing. You are not allowed to hold church services on public beaches in California anymore in Los Angeles County. And that was a big problem for one church. They've got about 150 members, and they're literally called Church on the Beach because they literally worship on the beach. We've got photographs over on my website, toddstearns.com. So the Church on the Beach reached out to the American Center for Law and Justice, and the great news is that the ACLJ basically tore Los Angeles County a new one. And the government has now decided that they are going to rescind the ban, and churches are once again going to be allowed to use the beach for worship services. This is great news. I mean, it's common sense, right? If you're gonna let the volleyball team play beach volleyball, you got to let the church do the same thing. So anyway, great job, Church on the Beach. Great job, American Center for Law and Justice, and shame on you, Los Angeles County. You know better, and let's hope that they've learned a lesson here. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern night, we're going to have a fun show on Newsmax, the Todd Stearns Show. And, man, what a day. What a day it was for Newsmax. I've never seen anything like this. Their stock went up for sale for the first time. It was like $10. And this morning, Newsmax stock is trading at like $180 or something. It's just remarkable. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that. We've got a huge show lined up for you. You know, big media, they're out to stop President Trump at any cost. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, they're all the same. President Trump doesn't trust them at all, and he shouldn't. Even Fox News. Now, millions of people are turning to Newsmax. Nielsen reports almost 30 million Americans tuned into Newsmax last quarter. President Trump, one of them, and he watches Newsmax, says it's terrific. So tune in tonight to watch Rob Finnerty's series, The Big Media's War on Trump. Every night this week, Rob is exposing their lies, and he's going to give you the straight talk that you want and you expect from Newsmax. By the way, you can find Newsmax on all major cable systems. You can download the free Newsmax app on your phone or home TV right now. Millions have made the switch to Newsmax, and you should too.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-260-8700. That's 800-260-8700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, folks, don't forget, if you're in Florida, go and vote today. If you're in Wisconsin, go and vote today, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a country to save, and it's all hands on deck here. Look, even though Trump is not on the ballot, he is still on the ballot. So if you want to see the president's agenda move forward, then you got to get out and you got to go vote today. All right, let's go to the phones. Mark in Florida. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Grace says she's going to go home. You got her sick.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Grace says she's going home. You got her sick.
You mean Cassie. Grace no longer works.
Oh, Cassie. Cassie.
All right, what's on your mind, Mark?
Hey, did you hear what Gutfeld said yesterday? When Jill Behar, she says we should cut SpaceX because we already have NASA. Gutfeld says we should cut the view because we already have Animal Planet.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And this thing with, like you stated earlier, we got to get out and vote, especially here in Florida and Marion County. Get up, take a lunch break, go out and vote. We have to get that done today for sure. That's absolutely a must today. And this thing with Elon Musk, we all know why they're going after him. Even the Republicans, their cash cow is being cut. They're upset over it. He's putting a stop to it. So it doesn't matter if you put the president of Chick-fil-A in this position that Trump gave Musk. They go start burning down Chick-fil-A's because they know they're about to lose their money, and that's exactly why they're doing it.
Well, look, the reality here is when you look at the Doge team that Elon assembled, these are, and they're really not regular Joes, but they are regular guys. These are Americans who have achieved greatness in their fields of industry and business and finance. These are men who know what it means to make a budget and to live by the budget, and they're going in and they're doing what any other citizen would do. I think all of us have to do this. We've got to sit down. We've got to make out a budget. We know how much money is coming in. We know what we're able to afford and what we can't afford. And that's all they're doing here. And look, the reality is the American, when you look at the American people at large, we've got a lot of stupid people out there. They're not doing their research. They're not doing their homework. They believe every single thing that comes out of the mouths of the anchors on ABC, CBS, and NBC News. And they're lying to these people. That's one of the reasons why we've seen so many senior citizens that have been marching out in front. Well, you can't really call it marching, but they got the wheelchairs and the walkers and the little scooters. The reason they're out there is they're afraid that Elon Musk is going to cut Social Security. Elon Musk is not cutting Social Security. These people, some of them, Lord love them, are just so stupid. They buy everything that those folks over at CBS, NBC, and ABC are telling them. And it's just unacceptable. Mark, gotta run. Thank you for the call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Cory Booker is just enraged, and he's been holding a marathon yelling session on the Senate floor. Take a listen.
The American people are sick and tired of being afraid to speak their minds, lest they be politically smeared as communist or fascist by their opponents. Freedom of speech, she says, is not what it used to be in America. It has been so abused by some that it is not exercised by others. So, dear God, if I stand up in this body and say it is wrong to put Pete Hegseth in the cabinet as Secretary of Defense because he's unqualified. Look at a signal chat to see how unqualified he is. The people of the United States of America, all of us, have to stand up and say, no, not on my watch. I'm a Republican. I'm a veteran. I'm a police officer. I'm a firefighter. I'm a teacher. Not in America. We won't allow this. We won't allow this. We won't allow this.
What is he talking about? This guy is enraged. You know, he went to school for, he's got a master's degree in sociology. What is he talking about? I mean, this guy has not created anything. This guy has grifted off the American people since he was back in college. What has Cory Booker done? To go out there and to say that people like, for example, Pete Hegseth are not qualified. Pete Hegseth is a decorated combat veteran. Pete Hegseth is a great American patriot. What's Cory Booker done? I mean, if we really want to have these conversations. All right, let's go to Murph in Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Murph, what's going on?
Professor Starnes, always a pleasure. I don't know if you saw this last week, but there was an article in the Wall Street Journal's front page regarding Medicaid. And it's in relationship to duplicate payments for people that have moved from one state to another and how the money is just thrown at this particular government institution. And $1.7 trillion coming out of your pocket, my pocket, your kids' pockets, our grandkids' pockets, those are the ones that are going to bite the bullet 20 years from now. And I, for the life of me, cannot figure out, number one, how Medicare and Medicaid are even constitutional, because I can't find it anywhere in the document that says you and I are supposed to pay for somebody else's health problems. That was the church's duty years and years ago. But something's going to give, you know, prices are going to, benefits are going to go down and taxes are going to go up, or vice versa.
One way or the other, Murph, you're absolutely right. And Murph, I hate to leave it there, but we're super late for a break here. But you're speaking a lot of truth here. Folks, hang tight. Hour two of the Big Show coming up next. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Man, a lot is going on. If you are in Florida, if you're in Wisconsin, go and vote. You've got a lot of work to do here, folks. We cannot slack off. Also, we do have some breaking news to share. This is exciting.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Many of you know, and I know the staff here at the Todd Starnes radio program, and Dylan Dandridge, I know you, sir, specifically, are a big fan of the Beaver Nuggets over at Buc-ee's.
I do enjoy those, yes.
And if you, they also have a pretty darn good brisket sandwich, if I may say so. You know, again, it's, you know, it's not Texas, but it's, you know, it's a pretty darn good brisket sandwich.
It's pretty close.
So anyway, we're getting news that they're actually going to be building a Buc-ee's in Germantown, Tennessee. I am so excited about this.
Way.
So
that's amazing.
Apparently, and this is, I live very near City Hall, and the news is that they're going to be building a Buc-ee's, and they've got the mascot out there, the whole nine yards, and they've sold City Hall, and they've sold it to Buc-ee's, and they're going to build a Buc-ee's, which is sort of weird because City Hall is nowhere near the interstate, and they normally build those by the, and you right. got to have a lot of, City Hall's not that. Oh, wait a second. Dadgummit. It's April 1st, isn't it?
Ah, Todd.
Dang it, Bobby.
You got me.
I thought, I'm looking at this right now. Somebody pulled a fast one on me.
Dadgummit.
Doggone it. Kind of looking forward to walking over to Buc-ee's.
That's horrible. That's the worst prank that you could pull on me.
Man, honestly, I was kind of excited. I wasn't quite sure how they were going to fit 75 gas, terminals there, gas stations there, fuel tanks.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's Buc-ee's, so you gotta push
all
past
right.
that.
My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. We have been the victims of fake news on April Fool's Day. All right, want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to a great friend of the program, a great lawmaker as well, Congresswoman Erin Hochin from the great state of Indiana. Congresswoman, hope you're doing well.
Hey, Todd. Great to hear your voice. Thanks for having me. I'm real sorry that was an April Fool's joke, because we do love Buc-ee's.
Yeah, kind of disappointed. Just going to be honest with you there, Congresswoman. But it is what it is. So, look, there is a lot happening up on Capitol Hill today. And, of course, we've been paying very close attention to the elections down in Florida. We have two congressional races, and then in Wisconsin with that Supreme Court case. Are you sensing, do you feel like we still have the momentum as Republicans, as conservatives?
I do. I mean, the American people have been supportive of, in large measure, of what Donald Trump and Elon Musk have been doing with Doge. I think that Elon and his team getting out and being more public with the work that they're doing and the things that they're finding certainly helps in that effort. But we're going to continue leading and winning on issues like immigration and the economy. But it's not a secret. We don't have any room for error. We need people to get out and vote in these elections today in Wisconsin and Florida. We need the base to be fired up and fight. Because it's not lost on conservatives that we're still in a knife fight for the future of the country. And having and growing the majority is critical in that fight for the future. So our margins are thin in the House. We need every vote we can get, and that includes these seats in Florida and the Supreme Court win up in Wisconsin. Those are critical, critical pieces of the puzzle that we need Republicans to get out and vote today.
You know, Elon, or rather Politico, had a piece on House Republicans, unnamed, but I suspect they're on the moderate side, that are unhappy with Elon Musk. And the theory, according to Politico, is that if things don't go well tonight, they're going to try to blame Elon. Do you think that the American people are going to buy that? I feel as though Elon is doing a great service to the nation right now.
I don't think the American people are going to buy that. I think that there could be some Republicans in very tight swing districts, and you know they're hearing a lot from the far left about Elon. And you know, when you start uncovering pain points for the left, you're uncovering some of the waste, fraud, and abuse and corruption that is occurred under their watch and their direction in some cases, I imagine, that's going to cause some consternation with the base, the far left base. And in swing districts, they're probably hearing from them loudly, but largely across the country, people are supportive of what is happening with the DOGE effort. I hear it all the time from people back home that they're very eager to see what DOGE will uncover next. And they're finding what Elon believes will be $1 trillion in waste, fraud, and abuse, which is not a magic bullet, but it will turn our spending trajectory down in the direction we need to go to get this fiscal house in order and restore our fiscal sanity in this country.
You know, Congresswoman, you've also been pretty outspoken on the president's efforts to really dismantle the Department of Education and return control back to the states and the local communities. How important is that, and what do you envision that looking like down the road?
I get questioned on this a lot, Todd, and here's the thing. The Federal Department of Education has been failing American students in this country since day one when it was created under the Jimmy Carter administration. So the Department of Education is not something that's been around forever. It's really just been in modern times. And what we're trying to do is empower parents and families to make decisions about their education, not bureaucrats in Washington. Imagine if you eliminated only the bureaucracy and you moved things to other federal agencies that could handle it, like, you know, school lunch programs under the USDA or funding for Title I or other programs out of different agencies. That's going to do a lot of freeing up funds that will go directly to children and families and classrooms. So I don't understand the consternation about this federal Department of Education when it's not delivering results. We need to return control of education back to the states and local communities where it belongs, and I'm glad to see President Trump leading this effort.
I'm with you, and I see this locally. I live in Tennessee and base our national show here in Memphis, where over 70% of the kids can't read at grade level. And that is just an abject failure, I mean, of the public education system. And it's the same pretty much across the nation.
Well, this is something that's near and dear to my heart. And that's because in this country in about the 80s, we changed the way we teach kids how to read. And we're only really teaching to the top 20% of students.
Yeah,
the bottom 20% of students have are you know, 1 in 5 kids have dyslexia, which is a reading disability that's largely undiagnosed. And there are methods to teach those kids to read and succeed. I know this because my son, who's now 16, it has dyslexia and has struggled to read, but now is a 16-year-old thriving honor student because he was taught to read in the right way. We can teach those kids to read, all kids to read in this manner, and it actually helps everybody across the spectrum. But we are asleep at the wheel. So these are decisions that need to be made locally. We're failing across the board in math and in reading, and not to mention the fact that this federal DOE and our accrediting universities are pushing DEI, Marxism, and communism in our schools, and some even in conservative states, they don't even know that they're teaching it. So we have a lot of work to do, but the first step is undoing the damage that's been done by a federal bureaucracy in Washington trying to tell us how to educate our kids.
Real quick, before we let you go, tomorrow, of course, Liberation Day, President Trump's tariffs expected to go into effect, and a lot of people up in Washington are freaking out over this.
Yeah, they are, but President Trump is what he's trying to do is level the playing field for American companies. American companies have been ripped off for decades by other countries with these one-sided trade deals. This is about fairness. I hope it will ultimately lead to a fairer and freer trade system under President Trump's leadership. Tariffs, they are not just economic tools. It's also a way to protect and enhance our own national security. We are trying to, I think President Trump is trying to rewrite our global trade policy and do it in a way that favors America and puts America first. And I think, we will see the effects of this in the months and weeks to come. But for today, I'm excited about the opportunity it creates to level the playing field.
Well said, and I'm with you. And it's time we get those manufacturing jobs back to the United States. And that's ultimately what I hope, and I suspect will happen, is that these businesses are going to return back to this country.
I agree. I think we will see the manufacturing return. We've already seen it in some instances in the auto industry. I've seen it in my own state with billions of dollars in investments from companies like Eli Lilly and Honda and Boston Scientific. So I think we're really going to see some positive things from this. But as it always is with tariffs, the uncertainty can be an issue, which is why I think a reciprocal tariff plan, it does eliminate some of the uncertainty with his tariffs to level the playing field, and I'm eager to see how it develops.
All right. Well, Congresswoman, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your great insight, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Todd. Have a great day.
All right. Congresswoman Erin Hochin, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Indiana, great Republican lawmaker. I am kind of disappointed that was a fake news story. I was kind of looking forward to having a local Buc-ee's. Let's go to Lakeland, Tennessee. Cindy is on the line listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Cindy. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. I called my brother today. He lives in Pinellas County, Florida. And I called him yesterday when I was listening, and I said, you got to go vote. And he said, we're not voting. I said, yeah, you are, because they said Wisconsin, Florida. And he said, so I just called him again. I said, did you go vote? He said, I went over there, and they said, we are not voting in Pinellas County.
Is that right?
So, yeah, that's what he told me. Of course, you never know about my brother. But he knows I'd knock him in the head if he didn't go vote.
Well, you know, Cindy, I'm glad you made that call. And, you know, if you folks are listening and you have family members in those two congressional districts, they need to get out and vote today. If you've got folks in Wisconsin, the entire state needs to get out and vote. And, Cindy, you did the right thing by picking up the phone.
Well, I'm glad I did. This is the first time ever I have done this. But I listen to you all the time. And when you came over about Buc-ee's in Germantown, I thought, what? I knew we were going to get a Buc-ee's in West Memphis and one here somewhere, but it wasn't in Germantown.
Somebody was pulling my leg there, Cindy, and I don't like it.
I know. Well, you got me going. I was like, this is crazy.
I know. Let me say this, though, and this is not an April Fool's joke. The Chick-fil-A in Germantown, you know, they've been closed for renovations, and they're opening back up. And I'm very excited about that. I've kind of missed my Chick-fil-A fix.
I'll listen for you to say that tomorrow. I'm not going to run
up
there
today. No, don't do that. Don't.
All right. I'm going to Olive Garden.
Oh, there you go. With that bottomless salad and salad bar. I love that stuff. All right, Cindy, thank you so much for calling in, and enjoy the Olive Garden. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Dylan, I want to get your take on this. I know you're a big sports guy, and we have two sports stories here, and they're polar opposites. So one of them is your alma mater. You went to the University of Memphis.
Go Tigers.
All right. They have a big problem filling up the stadium and filling up the FedEx Forum, which is where the basketball team plays.
Right.
And they actually had a pretty decent – I mean, they had a good season in basketball, but they were playing – they weren't exactly playing the Tennessee Volunteers every game.
No. We have a very weak conference.
It's a weak conference. But yeah. Still, I mean, you never know in basketball, you never know how right. things are going to shake up. So hats off to Penny Hardaway for a really good season, even though they got whacked at the in the opening round of the NCAA tournament.
Still hurting.
So they – but – in spite of that, and they had a great season, they couldn't sell out the arena, and they couldn't even fill it up, even, what, halfway?
Right.
So now the university's announcing that they're going to reduce the seating capacity, and they're getting rid of the cheap seats. So they're going to force everybody to pay more money for the next season, and they're going to charge a 9.75% sales tax.
Wow.
On all tickets. And for parking.
Well, that also affects the Grizzlies, doesn't it? Because the Tigers and the Grizzlies. This is football or is this basketball?
This is basketball.
Okay.
This is just right now for basketball.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. No. It's for football, men's and women's basketball.
Oh.
So it's just for the Tigers
gotcha.
And their teams.
Gotcha.
So here's the thing. So let's just say you want a season parking pass. Okay, if you're going to be on the second level, it's $550, right? But you got to make a donation first. So you've got to make a $5,000 donation to get that $550 parking pass.
Jeez.
So that's $5,550 right there. If you want the third floor, it's $10,000 minimum, and then you got to give $600 for the parking pass.
That doesn't sound like a great incentive to go to the games.
Right. I'm thinking so you're having trouble getting people in the seats, so you're just going to charge them more, and then you're going to tax them on top of that.
Right.
All right.
I would lower the price if you want that to happen.
I just don't get that.
Or put us in a better conference.
Or exactly. I think people would be showing up if you're playing Duke and Tennessee
absolutely.
And Kansas or what. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Duke fans would show up.
That brings me to Coastal Carolina University. The Chanticleers, they have become the first football program in Division I to provide free concessions. So when you get your football ticket, you get four items from the concession stand free of charge.
Wow.
Hot dog, popcorn, nachos.
That's a good deal.
Baptist martini.
Real martini.
And you can make unlimited visits. This
incredible.
Is
incredible.
Look, I'm telling you, if I'm a parent with like six kids,
going to every single game,
every game
for dinner.
I love this. Coastal Carolina says the announcement was meant to elevate the game day experience for fans, and I love this. But here's the problem: they had to rush it. It was originally going to be announced today, and people thought it would be an April Fool's joke.
Right.
But it's really not a joke. This is great.
Wow.
So they call themselves the Chance. That's their nickname, the Chance. Chance Feast Free. I love this. You get free nachos, free hot dog, free drink, and that's a pretty – I like that. And
Memphis they say needs to listen.
Exactly.
Coastal Carolina.
Exactly. Last year, they averaged 21,415 fans at the home games.
That's crazy.
And that's in the middle of the – so they're in the Sun Belt
yeah.
conference. So, all right. Good for you, Coastal Carolina. I like that. Well done. Like a good hot dog. All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Maybe you have to become Coastal Carolina fans. We'll be right back, America. And welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Oh, I've got to play this audio. This is insane. So, Leslie Stahl, over at 60 Minutes, was interviewing one of the hostages that had been taken by Hamas. It's just insanity, the thinking that goes through this twisted thinking that goes through these legacy media types. Let's take a listen to Leslie Stahl, cut number 7.
The terrorists became very mean and very cruel and violent.
More so.
Much more so. They were beating me and starving me.
Do you think they starved you or they just didn't have food?
No, I think they starved me, and they would often eat in front of me and not offer me food.
So what she was trying to do there, Leslie Stahl was basically suggesting that it was the Trump administration that was really causing the problem here because they were stopping Hamas from getting food. This is unbelievable. So Scott Jennings over at CNN completely destroys Leslie Stahl. Take a listen.
Look, mine is this, an everyday item that needs an upgrade. Leslie Stahl at 60 Minutes. After I saw Leslie ask hostage Keith Siegel this weekend, when he said he'd been starved in captivity, he said, well, maybe they just didn't have enough food to give you. And he had to set her straight. She's been there since 1991. Well, I'm sorry, Leslie, it's time for an upgrade. That was a terrible question. Horrible moment since the coverage of October 7th started.
Horrible. Unbelievable. But that's, now you understand the mindset of the leftist media. They side with people like Hamas. They side with TDA, the violent Venezuelan gang. These are the kinds of people we're dealing with here. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, I hope you're doing well today.
Yeah, very well. I hope you're doing well, too.
You know, I am, Dr. Carson, and I have to tell you, we just had Congresswoman Erin Hochin on in the last hour, and she was really focused on President Trump's efforts to dismantle the Department of Education. I know this is something that you've been very passionate about. How important is it for us to redo the education system in this country?
Well, you know, all we have to do is look at what has happened. You know, since 1979, when the Department of Education was first established, we've spent $3 trillion. $3 trillion. And the quality of our education has been going down since then. You know, per capita spending for students has increased more than 245% during that period. No measurable improvement in student achievement. So basically, we're just wasting money. And the real shame is that we used to be the example of education for the world. When Alexis de Tocqueville came here in 1831 to look at our system, because the Europeans were just fascinated how a fledgling country, barely 50 years old, was competing with them in everything, including education. You could find a mountain man, the guy could read. He could tell you about the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, if you look at a sixth grade exit exam from 150 to 200 years ago to see what you were expected to know, it will blow you away. We've dumbed things down to such a significant degree, and it has implications for the security of our country. Because, you know, we're registering near the bottom when it comes to STEM learning to comparable nations. And these are people we have to compete with, people against, in some cases, we have to defend ourselves. And if we don't have the background in education, we won't be able to advance ourselves technologically, and we're going to fall victim. So this is a serious issue.
Well, it is, Dr. Carson, and someone sent me a copy of this from Bullitt County, Kentucky. This is the eighth grade examination in 1912. So the kids had to pass this test to advance, and they had to cover things like reading, arithmetic, grammar, how many parts of speech are there, define each, geography. They had to define longitude and latitude, physiology. How does the liver compare in size with other glands in the human body? These are eighth graders.
And you, can you imagine what the students would say today if you asked them those questions?
They can't even figure out their pronouns, Dr. Carson.
But, you know, we really have to have much higher expectations. And what we need to recognize about America is that we're a land of opportunity. But you must take advantage of the educational system. When you become knowledgeable, and skilled, people need you. And when they need you, they pay you. You become a functional part of that society. But when, you know, as right now, 40% of, no, two-thirds of eighth graders and fourth graders are not reading at appropriate levels, are not doing math at appropriate levels. And, you know, this has got to have some deleterious effects on our society.
It's just so sad. And I think there are a couple of reasons why that the education system has just fallen apart. And I think a lot of it has to do with, and it's a pretty nefarious thing, but quite frankly, it's very easy to control ignorant people. And I think we're raising a generation of kids. They don't know anything. They don't know their rights under the Constitution. And if you don't know your rights, you're never going to know when those rights are being violated.
Well, isn't that what the Marxists always do? They dumb down the population so that they can control them. And we're falling right in line with it. And I am so glad to see that, you know, President Trump and his administration has the willpower and the fortitude and the courage to go ahead with this, because people have been talking about it for a long time, but no one's ever had the courage to do it. And, you know, education that is closer to the student and to their parents is going to be much better than something that's administered by a bunch of bureaucrats, hundreds or in some cases thousands of miles away.
I wonder, especially when I was reading a piece by Mike Rowe, who's a big advocate for getting kids into trade schools and learning the trade arts, because there is just we're just really lacking in welders and construction electrician people. And I have to wonder, on the medical side, I'm curious, are you hearing from your former colleagues in the medical field that they're having trouble finding good people as well?
Well, I don't think they're having that much trouble finding good people. The problem has been, in some cases, they've changed their standards. And they're having people who are having difficulty with the work in medical school. And I think they've learned their lesson. I think people are starting to move back toward, you know, the more stringent requirements now, because it just doesn't work. But, you know, in education in general, a lot of people go into the educational field. They're excellent teachers. They're extremely talented. But in the public sector, you know, they have to spend all of their time checking off lists. So they don't really get to exercise the teaching skills that they have. And after a while, they become discouraged and they just kind of go along with the flow. And that extreme talent basically goes to waste.
On our Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line, we have our friend Dr. Ben Carson with us. And Dr. Carson, a lot of people don't talk about this particular aspect of it all, but what role do moms and dads have in educating their kids and getting those kids ready for kindergarten or first grade?
They have an incredibly big role throughout the entire time, from the time the child is very small. It's the reason that Vladimir Lenin said, give me your children to teach for 4 years and the seed that I sow will never be uprooted. You start very early formulating the personality that they have and the way that they relate to the world around them. And that curiosity is something that never goes away. One of the things that my wife and I did when our kids were small, we would have dinner. And right after we said grace, everybody was required to give a fact that everybody else was probably not going to know, which means they had to do some research. And it became quite a fun time because everybody was looking for these minutiae facts. But it's really good because it stimulated a curiosity for learning, which extended through their adults now. They're all very successful adults.
Dr. Carson, great advice, and we always appreciate you coming on the show. Always good to hear your voice as well, and hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for what you're doing.
Dr. Ben Carson, everybody. And that really is some good advice for you moms and dads out there when you're maybe having dinner tonight. Maybe you sit down and you say to the kids, okay, you got to talk about one thing you learned today, one piece of knowledge you learned today. Where's Ben Dieter? I want to quiz him. Dieter, you're an educated man, and we're going to bring Dylan in on this too. This is crazy. So guys, this is the test, the exam for. So if you were in eighth grade and you wanted to advance to ninth grade, so you're in middle school and you want to go to high school in Bullitt County, Kentucky, in 1912, you had to do certain things. So, for example, you need to be able to spell rhinoceros.
Oh, no.
Vinegar. Saucepan. Oh, is that one word or two, Ben Dieter?
Two.
That's one word.
Mm.
In reading, so you had to do reading. You had to do a reading assignment, which was given by the teacher. You had to do arithmetic. A man bought a farm for $2,400. And sold it for $2,700. What percent did he gain? These are eighth graders had to know this. Oh, here we go. A school enrolled 120 pupils, and the number of boys was two-thirds of the number of girls. How many of each sex were enrolled?
I need a calculator.
So
I'm going to need an hour.
So they didn't even have calculators back then.
What?
But I know if I was asked that question today, I would say, we don't know because we don't know what their sex or gender is. It may be fluid.
And you would probably pass just based off of that answer.
Here we go. Grammar, guys. What is a personal pronoun? What properties have verbs? Oh, here we go. Diagram the following sentence. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver.
Ooh.
Could you imagine? That would just, the fact that the Lord was mentioned in the test, the atheist would sue today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to give you an easy one here. Locate these cities. Mobile.
Alabama.
Wow.
Quebec.
Canada.
Buenos Aires.
Brazil. Argentina.
Liverpool.
England.
Hungary.
Oh, Dylan got that one.
Liverpool. Hungary.
Honolulu.
Hawaii.
There you go. All right. So physiology. You eat the beef organs, right? I was listening to you on the morning show today. How does the liver compare in size with other glands in the human body?
It doesn't compare. It's supreme. It's huge.
I don't think that's the right answer.
Oh?
Describe the heart.
Yummy.
Got an aortic
tasty
valve in there.
Tastes like chicken.
Oh, check this out, guys. Then civil government. To what four governments are students in school subjected? Name five county officers and the principal duties of each. I don't think any person alive today would be able to complete this exam.
And this was just to go on to high school?
Yeah, high school. This is nuts. Oh, here you go. What president was impeached and on what charge? This would have been Andrew
Clinton.
No, this would have been Andrew Johnson because this is 1912. Oh. So all I can tell you, oh, here we go, guys. Who invented the following? The magnetic, the telegraph, the cotton gin?
Thomas Edison.
The sewing machine? Your grandma? The telephone and the phonograph. I just don't think. Do you see how stupid we are?
No,
as a nation.
That's why they have shows like "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?"
Wow,
because we don't know.
We don't know.
We used to know. Apparently,
this is appalling. So, to Dr. Carson's point, we've got to really, really rebuild our education system here because you had a lot of smart kids back in the day. And now our kids are on TikTok, and they don't know what their pronouns are.
Hey, watch it. Well, I know my pronouns, but I am on TikTok.
901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We got to ask some old-timers here. Do these questions sound familiar?
Who created the telegraph? which I have no idea what that is, but it's something.
We'll be right back, folks.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
All right, according to CNN, all voters in America, that's Republican and Democrat, disapprove of the Democrats. 68%. They're combusting, folks. It's unbelievable. But the Democrats are in a world of hurt right now. So much so that they're literally at this very moment defending the Venezuelan gangs and the MS-13 gangs. Here is Jamie Raskin now demanding that the gangbangers who have been deported to El Salvador be immediately returned to America.
While appealing whichever ones they want to appeal, and to demand the return of people unlawfully taken to El Salvador on that so-called plane full of gangbangers.
All right, so let's just go through some of the people that were on that plane, and these are the people that the Democrats are demanding be returned to America. A man who raped and strangled an autistic woman to death in Maryland, a man who hacked 4 people to death in Long Island, a man who kidnapped and sexually abused and shot a girl in Texas, a man who killed and mutilated a teenager in Virginia, a man who beheaded and cut the heart out of a man in Washington, D.C., a man who sex trafficked multiple young girls, and a man who raped an 11-year-old in Brooklyn, New York. These are the people that the Democrats, for some unknown reason, are demanding that Donald Trump return to the streets of America. These people are lunatics. And by the way, the American people on the issue of these mass deportations are overwhelmingly in support of President Trump and his agenda. Overwhelmingly. And by the way, that's what is ultimately at stake today in Wisconsin and Florida. And we're getting some indication, and this is good news, that apparently a lot of you folks are getting out and voting in both states. We understand, especially in Wisconsin, the voter turnout is very similar to the presidential election turnout. If that's the case, that means that a lot of Republicans are getting out and they're voting in Wisconsin. Also, a lot of Republicans we are now hearing are getting out and voting in Florida. We're going to be checking in with Newsmax correspondent Caleb Park in the next hour. Also, we're going to be talking to Congressman Glenn Grothman from Wisconsin, and we'll get the latest on what's happening in both those states. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour 3 of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. How are you today? Well, welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. You know, I'm packing up and heading out tomorrow early at the crack o' dawn. I got to fly up to New York City. And Chris Ruddy, the owner of Newsmax, asked me to come up and to be a part of the big celebration. Of course, Newsmax went public, and the stock is just unbelievable. It started trading at $10 a share. I think today it's, what, $180 a share? Just unbelievable. So we're having a big shindig tomorrow night in New York City. And then on Thursday, I've been invited to go down to Wall Street, and I will be there as Ruddy rings the bell. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But I got to tell you, I'm not looking forward. I was looking forward to the trip, but then I got a text message just a little while ago that said, "Hey, Starnes, you need to have a new mugshot done." So I've got apparently Newsmax wants me to do these publicity photos, and all I can tell you is I should have brought along the lovely Miss Kristen who does my makeup every day because I'm going to need it for tomorrow. So I asked if I could use a stunt double, and they said no.
You know, Todd, you're going to be in New York. I just can imagine there's a lot of makeup artists in New York.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Manhattan, it's Broadway.
Well, we got the ladies at Newsmax, and they are phenomenal, and they're amazing. And they will make me look halfway decent. I will be presentable for HD. So, at least I hope so. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, can we talk about Jasmine Crockett for just a moment? All right, Jasmine Crockett back at it up on Capitol Hill, and she is raging about the calls for President Trump to ignore the activist judges and implement his agenda.
The problem that we have right now is that if we continue down this road, then we will not have a rule of law because we have people that are currently serving and they're saying things like, ignore the judge's order. What it means to have law and order in this country is that you follow the order and you go through the appeals process, even if you dislike what the judge did. Thank you, and I yield.
And I'll yield back to you. Mr. Issa, you had a question for me, which I'll yield to you now if you want to.
Now that there's no time left. Thanks, Eric.
I need entertainment.
You're good. You're good at that, but I'll take my own time. I'll recognize myself. And I'm going to note that when Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, or AOC as we know her, filed articles of impeachment on Justice Thomas and Alito, Ms. Crockett was one of the co-sponsors, along with Mr. Cohen, both members of this committee. It does seem interesting that when the shoe is on the other foot, everyone is self-righteous. And I think this is a good example. For the last 3 hours, I have had to listen to one side talking about impeachment as though it was the nature of this hearing. It is not.
All right. There you have it. A little back and forth there up on Capitol Hill. Now, the question is, and there are a couple of issues here. First of all, whether or not President Trump should just ignore the federal judges and their rulings. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. The other is whether Congress should move forward with the impeachment of these federal judges. But here's the bottom line. The Republicans, that you need a two-thirds majority vote in the Senate to convict on an impeachment, to get an impeachment conviction. That's not going to happen. You're not going to have Democrats moving over and siding with the Republicans in the Senate. So, that being said, it's all really a moot point. I mean, yeah, if you want to besmirch a federal judge in the House with an impeachment vote, okay. But at the end of the day, it's really not moving the needle at all. And some would say it's just, I don't know, a waste of time. So anyway, curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. San Francisco. Lovely city by the bay and beautiful, beautiful architecture. Now a land of squalor and poop patrols on the streets. So San Francisco's come up with a new policy, and they're calling it the Speed Safety System. It is a pilot program, and they're basically introducing DEI policies to traffic patrols. So in other words, if you're a white guy and you get pulled over, you're going to be charged a higher amount on your ticket than, say, a minority driver. Cut number 5, please.
San Francisco is launching a new speed safety pilot program backed by Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom, where how much you pay for a speeding ticket depends on who you are. And it's all in the name of equity. On its website, the City Transportation Authority goes out of its way to explain that speed safety cameras will be dispersed across San Francisco in a, quote, equitable fashion. But not everyone will have to pay the same if they get a ticket. Get this. Low-income offenders qualify for steep fine discounts, guys, up to half off. And if you're homeless but speeding in your vehicle, you can get up to 80% discount. Jerry, here's just one of the many problems I have with this. The reason for this program, for the speed cameras, was reportedly because of high injury areas, meaning where pedestrians have been hit and killed. So since all lives are equal, why are we giving discounts on speeding tickets when everyone should understand how serious it is to drive safely where people have died?
So here's my question. What about Dodge Chargers? If you're driving a Dodge Charger, are you going to get charged more for your ticket? That's what I want to know here. But there you go. San Francisco, they're not learning any of their lessons at all here, ladies and gentlemen. Not one at all. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, this story out of Northern Colorado, where now the Democrats are claiming that people in Northern Colorado are banning certain people from their establishments. So this is State Representative Yara Zoke.
An entity is denying somebody access based upon their disability. They have requested access and been denied. It is, if you see a sign in a window that says, no Jews allowed, or as we've seen in Northern Colorado, no Mexicans or dogs allowed. That is real harm.
Wait, what? What? Seriously, you're telling me that there are businesses in Northern Colorado that literally have signs on the front of their building saying, no Mexicans or dogs allowed? I find that very hard to believe. You can't make this stuff up. Hey, real quick, I want to go over to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line and bring in Newsmax correspondent Caleb Park. Caleb, you see him every night on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. And Caleb, I understand you're in Florida. Where are you right now?
Hey, Todd, it's great to be with you. I'm in Ormond Beach, so it's right outside. It's right in the 6th Congressional District where Mike Waltz was representing. So I'm not too far from the beach. I'm at a polling location, and we've had a steady stream of people. As you know, this is the special election down here. We've got Democrat Josh Wheel. He's a public school math teacher, pretty liberal, think AOC. And then you have State Senator Randy Fine, who is on the Republican side. He was an early Trump supporter, and he kind of clashed with DeSantis. And this race was, you know, it wasn't going to be a big deal until the Democrats started surging in that early vote. And now it's a national race, and now we've got, you know, media from all over. I've been next to CNN all day today here at the church. So they brought everybody in, and it's a big story, Todd.
Caleb, I'm curious about turnout. Do the Republicans, are they hopeful that they're going to be able to get out the numbers today, same-day voting, to pull off a victory here?
Yeah, Todd, that's a great question. And even going into the weekend, Democrats were leading until the weekend. And I got a chance to speak to Randy Fine. He was at this polling location just a few hours ago. He told me he's feeling confident. And from what we've seen here, it's been a steady stream all day. I've spoken to voters that are on both sides. We've spoken to Democrats, Republicans. And so, you know, same day voting generally benefits the Republicans. So it does, you know, if what I'm seeing and what we're hearing, it looks like the Republicans will win. It just comes down to the margins tonight. And that will be the big story. You know, if it's less than 10, the Democrats are going to say, look at this momentum we have in this deep red district going into the midterms. You know, and I asked Randy Fine about that, and he said, you know, a win's a win. That's what he's looking for first and foremost. And so, yeah, we'll see. Polls close at 7 p.m., so we've still got quite a few hours of voting left. And, yeah, it's
Caleb,
leading up here for a special election.
Yeah, let me jump in here because I understand what the state senator is saying there, but the reality is that Trump won that district by 30 points. So yeah. If Fine squeaks by with a win, I think the Democrats are going to treat that as a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I asked him about that, he said, you know, the issue is that Democrats are fired up. They're angry. Every time that Trump does, you know, every time Trump wins, Democrats lose. And so he said, you know, Democrats are, their base is fired up. They're ready to go. Republicans need to be, and this is what his, you know, what his opinion was, that Republicans need to, you know, start getting fired up as well. And, you know, just because Trump is doing all these things, they still need to come out and vote. And, but that's a really good point, Todd. And I think, you know, if it is close, a lot of people are going to be Monday morning quarterbacking tomorrow.
No doubt about that. Any word? I know this is in a whole other part of the state, up in the panhandle, but Matt Gaetz is the race to replace Matt Gaetz. Any word on that race as well?
Yeah, that's with Jimmy Patronis. He was the CFO of the state against Gay Valamont, the Democrat. And that race is not looking as close from what I've heard. And so, you know, if that race is close, I think we'd have an even bigger discussion. So, not nearly as close as it is in the sixth district over here. But if it is, then I'll be shocked. And I think a lot of other people will as well, from what I've heard from election officials and from Republican and Democratic strategists that I've talked to in the state.
By the way, we've got Caleb, not only are you going to be on the Newsmax show tonight, but also Patronis is going to be joining us as well. So, and then Governor Scott Walker, who is from Wisconsin, will be joining us. So we're going to have a full-blown election coverage tonight on Newsmax. Caleb, it's April Fool's Day, my friend, and and there's been something weighing on my heart. This has been going on for years, and I think it's important just go ahead and clear the air on national radio. Now, you and I work together at Fox News. We've known each other for years, and
true.
We were in South Carolina, and I pulled an April Fool's Day prank on you, and it wasn't even April Fool's Day. That was the funny thing about it. You're from Ohio originally, correct?
That is correct.
So at the time, you were not well-versed on things of the South, specifically grits.
Yes. And I was not comfortable or aware of grits like most people in the South are.
So anyway, we were in South Carolina, and you noticed the state flag, and you said, oh, that's a very interesting tree on the state flag. And I just matter-of-factly told you, I said, oh, yes, that's the grits tree. And I said, this is where grits come from. And they grow in clusters like grapes, and you can just pluck them from the branches of the tree. And I didn't realize that you actually believed me.
Yeah, Todd, it's a bit ironic because in high school I got most gullible. And
no, you did not really.
Yes, I did. But you know what? Now I'm a reporter, so I question everything since then. I've learned to, you know, trust but verify, as President Reagan said.
Trust but verify. I know. Every time I eat grits, I think about you, Caleb. I needed to get that off my chest.
I'm sorry to hear that. I got to say, I'm not a big fan of grits, but that's probably just because I grew up in Ohio. But,
there you go.
Yeah, all maybe right. If they're sweetened or something.
Well, but you got to put some cheese in there and a little egg, so you got to beef it up. So you can't get the store-bought stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Caleb Park, we're going to let you get back to it. By the way, if you accidentally, you know, hit the CNN reporter with your mic flag, just, you know, be sure to get it on camera.
Todd, I'm not going to do that, but if I do, I'll let you know. You'll be the first, and I'll see you in a couple hours.
All right. The great Caleb Park on Newsmax TV, ladies and gentlemen. All right, hang tight. We got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our number. You know, I really feel bad that Caleb, he actually thought the grits grew on trees and clusters. Yeah, I feel really bad about that. We'll be right back. Some new intel here. This is just a couple of hours old, but as of 10 o'clock Eastern, this is the turnout by party in Florida's 1st and 6th Congressional District. First, let's start in the 1st Congressional District. That's Matt Gaetz's old seat. Republicans, 52% compared to Democrats at 33%. other is 14%. So Republicans doing quite well there. Also, Republicans doing well in the 6th Congressional District. You just heard Caleb Park reporting there. Republicans 48% on turnout day, Democrats at 35%. So there you go, a little bit of color for what's happening in Florida today, looking like it could be a great day for Republicans in the state of Florida. All right, let's go to Florida, Ocala, Florida. Richard listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Richard, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Mr. Todd, for taking my call. I think that Trump needs to move forward. A lot of these judges have been appointed as activist judges. They're wicked judges, wicked men, making wrong decisions, decisions that the American people don't want. And I think Trump just needs to move forward. Now, on a lighter note, remember that old movie, The Godfather, where he went and seen that guy and told him he had like 5 minutes to have his signature, his brains on the paper?
Oh, yes, I do. I remember.
They claim Trump's got a power to bump off anybody that's a threat to the country. I think he needs to call some of them activist judges in the office and offer them the same proposal. Of course, I'm teasing halfway, but still, I think something needs to be done seriously to stop these guys, legally, of course, but there's ways to do it, and I think they need to do it. I mean, they're doing what they can to save the country, and the liberals is fighting every step of the way on things that 80% of the American people want. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think Trump needs to move forward.
Well, and Congress, unfortunately, the president has no control over the judges at all. Congress does. Congress can intervene. They can interject. My recommendation to President Trump is just ignore the judges. Just do, you know, the American people elected him to do a job, and, you know, we expect for the president to do that job. All right, Richard, good call, my friend, and thank you for that, but we never advocate for violence, you know. You just got to make them an offer they can't refuse. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
First, I wanted to clarify something that you said to Jeff a few minutes ago. You said you'd seen evidence that this man was a convicted gang member. In what court was he convicted and for what?
This individual was an MS-13 ringleader. This individual was also engaged in human trafficking. And I'm glad you brought up this point again, because I would like to point out that if you just saw the headline from the insane failing Atlantic magazine this morning, you would think this individual was Father of the Year, living in Maryland, living a peaceful life, when that couldn't be further from the truth.
All right, that is Caroline Leavitt at the White House just a little while ago, regarding this very dangerous man who was deported. This is the headline from the Atlantic: an administrative error sends a Maryland father to a Salvadoran prison. I'm telling you, folks, and when it comes to the illegals, I'm pretty much, it's black and white for me. If you're here illegally, you have to go. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you're related to. You gotta go. You got to come to this country legally, like everybody else. And if you don't, well, sorry, but you're going to El Salvador. And I hear the prisons are not very good down there, not very pleasant at all. Oh, by the way, Congressman Andy Ogles from Tennessee, the Nashville area, in a little bit of hot water, he has ticked off both Democrats and Republicans, because he hung a wanted poster for federal judges outside of his office. Congressman Jim McGovern, a Democrat from Massachusetts, very upset and condemned Congressman Ogles, and he asked for unanimous consent to insert on the record that Ogles' posters were offensive. By the way, the poster says, "No, get Trump. No, get Trump, judicial activist, wanted." And this kind of stuff, they say, is unfortunate, and should be condemned in the halls of Congress. By the way, Congressman Daryl Asa, a Republican from California, agreed. You know, I would appreciate it if the Republicans on Capitol Hill would just be focused on taking out the Democrats. That's all. And stopping these activist judges. That's all. But instead, they turn around and they attack these conservative lawmakers. But that's what they do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, this story from Newsweek. The writer, Joshua Rhett Miller, chief investigative reporter, the headline, "A Father Sues School Over Spartans Mascot." A New York father and NAACP leader demanding the school district ditch the new Spartans mascot. You know, I don't get this. We're not allowed to call them Indian. We're not allowed to use Indians or warriors or Pocahontas or Teepee or Woohoo. You can't do any of that. Chief Sitting Bull. But now, apparently, you can't use the word Spartans. The father is alleging the warriors from ancient Greece symbolize enslavement and white supremacy. William King Moss III, a father of two second graders in the Brentwood Union Free School District on Long Island, filed a lawsuit claiming the Spartans moniker represents a symbol of white supremacy and violates the state's civil rights and constitutional protections. Mr. Moss, telling Newsweek, "I look at a white soldier that has conquered people and enslaved them as white supremacy. That's how I look at it. I think that's very clear to me when I logically look at it. My emotions are not in this at all, I assure you." I'm not all that assured. Not all that assured. He goes on to say, "One of the first things I read was that ancient Spartans were enslavers of indigenous people who they conquered. And not just enslavers, but violent enslavers. As an African American, I find that highly offensive that the school district would ever consider putting up a symbol of violent enslavers." Is that right, sir? Is that right? Well, I mean, if you're going to have that history discussion, let's have that history discussion, and you have to go all the way back to when slavery started and have a conversation about who was enslaving whom. I'm just saying, we can have that discussion if that's the conversation Mr. Moss wants to have, but I'm not sure it's going to go the way that he thinks it's going to go. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We've been telling you about another big election that we are following today, and that's happening in the state of Wisconsin. Let's go to the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line and say hello to Congressman Glenn Grothman. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Yep, it's a scary day, though, because you're right. We have a key Supreme Court race in Wisconsin going on right now. It'll be the most expensive Supreme Court race, certainly ever in Wisconsin and maybe in the entire country.
So, Congressman, could you explain to our national audience why this election matters to the rest of the country?
Well, it will affect Wisconsin state laws, but the Democrats are trying to have, we are afraid they will call for special elections during the term. In other words, before we're up a year from November. And if they do that, people like J.D. Pritzker, you know, the billionaire governor of Illinois, George Soros, have both poured billions of dollars in this race because they are hoping the Democrats will kind of gerrymander the districts in Wisconsin so that the Democrats pick up at least two and maybe even more, who knows, but at least two congressional seats. And we all know Congress is so closely divided right now between the Republicans and Democrats, that could be a disaster. Now, you should understand what they're doing. I think probably since Wisconsin's being a state, I haven't, not certain of this, I don't think that the city of Madison has been divided. It's always been together in one congressional district. Since the population of Milwaukee has shrunk, I think the city of Milwaukee has always been in one seat. But the Democrats want to draw some unusual lines, dividing Madison between two congressional districts, dividing Milwaukee between two congressional districts, maybe even three congressional districts, and then call for elections in the midterm and pick up some seats, which is why people like J.B. Pritzker or George Soros are piling in billions of dollars. Now, I will be honest here. Elon Musk has also put money in this race for Brad Schimmel, the more conservative traditional candidate.
And I'm glad he is. We are hearing reports sporadically across the state of strong voter turnout. Are the Republicans going to be able to get out the votes today?
Well, I think I participated in six rallies over the weekend, and there's certainly a lot of people very fired up. On the other hand, sometimes it's easier for Democrats to identify their voters because they're so compressed in just a few places around the state, as is true in most places around the country, right? You get to Chicago, so many of the Democrats are compressed. You get to Illinois, so many Democrats are compressed in Chicago. And that's what goes on in Wisconsin. So many Democrats are compressed in Milwaukee. They're compressed in Madison. That it's easier for them to identify their voters and get them out. But our people are certainly fired up. And another problem is, and this is typical probably in judicial races all around the country, if you watch the debates, the Democrat always pretends to be the conservative, right? The conservative, the Republican candidate, never pretends to be the Democrat. But in her ads, the Democrat, not the Democrat, but the liberal nominee, pretends to be a conservative justice. She's been a judge from Madison, Wisconsin, an obvious liberal who kind of talks like she's going to think that photo ID is racist, that type of person. But in her ads, she kind of brags like, I'm the conservative candidate. So it's possible that she will confuse the voter, which scares us. If it was an honest race and the Democrat candidate, a woman by the name of Susan Crawford, got up there and said, yeah, I think society is racist and I don't like photo ID. I'm proud that most Democrat sheriffs won't endorse me because I'm just so out there on criminal issues. You know, I want to undo a law in Wisconsin in which made it easier to get rid of a really bad teacher. If she said those things, she'd wind up with 35%. But instead, she's spending, you know, dozens and dozens of millions of dollars to confuse the Wisconsin public and allow them to believe that Brad Schimmel, who is the candidate I'm voting for, that Brad Schimmel is actually the liberal in the race, which is the exact opposite of the truth.
And, of course, this liberal judge that you mentioned, Congressman Grothman, this is Judge Susan Crawford. She has a radical record on the bench. There was one instance where a convicted felon sexually assaulted a five-year-old girl multiple times, and he could have been put away for 60 years. She let this guy walk after just 2 years. I mean, this is how radical of a person we're talking about.
Well, like I said, historically, when she's run for judge, she brags about the fact that she's a long-time Madison judge, and that is synonymous when you're running in the Madison area with synonymous with saying I am a very liberal candidate. You expect me to vote very liberal, but with all the money J.B. Pritzker and George Soros are piling in there, if you're in Milwaukee or Madison watching television today, you are getting tons of ads implying that, in fact, Susan Crawford is not a Madison liberal, but that she is the conservative. And this is going to be a very close race. You know, you'll recall the presidential race last November. We had a U.S. Senate race last November, which is very close. So it's important that everybody in Wisconsin get out and vote for a common-sense candidate, Brad Schimmel.
Here's how crazy it is, Congressman Grothman. Even Barack Obama just put out a tweet calling for people to get out and vote for Susan Crawford. So it's almost as if they're trying to make this a referendum on Donald Trump in the early days of his presidency. Is that fair?
Well, I don't think it is fair because very few of the decisions they make are going to, you know, go along those lines. I think it is fair to say that it sounds like they are not satisfied with the congressional maps or the congressional districts that people got elected in last November, and they may want to divide the city of Milwaukee and city of Madison into two different districts and try to pick up a couple of congressional seats, which would be very scary, I think. And we, not to mention the public does not want a separate election with just a congressional race, which is what we wind up with, I think. So in any event, I think people in Wisconsin, the type of people who only vote for president, they've got to get out today and vote for Brad Schimmel.
Yes, they do.
And like I said, it goes beyond party. You know, I cannot tell you, you look at the number of sheriffs in the state of Wisconsin, normally Democrats vote for Democrats, Republicans vote for Republicans. Most of these Democrat sheriffs are not voting for Susan Crawford because she's just so, they believe she'll be so hostile to law enforcement. And three of the Democrat sheriffs are even voting for Brad Schimmel. And, you know, today, Democrats don't vote Republican, Republicans don't vote Democrat. It's really illuminating that Democrat sheriffs are crossing over and saying, hey, you know, maybe I voted for Kamala Harris or something last time around, but I can't vote for Susan Crawford. She's just going to be too much trouble. And that's why all these billions of dollars are not billions, all these tens of millions of dollars are pouring in from the Illinois governor. And the mainstream media will focus on Elon Musk because they know he's not that popular right now. But I'll tell you, both sides have their billionaires backing them. And Susan Crawford's, one of her billionaires is the governor of Chicago, a governor of Illinois. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Appreciate the insight, boots on the ground, and we're going to be paying close attention to this all day. And let's just hope folks listening to us in Wisconsin right now, get out and cast your vote today. Congressman Gruffman.
Brad Schimmel's our guy.
Schimmel.
Brad Schimmel's our guy.
All right. Congressman Glenn Gruffman, thank you very much, Congressman.
Thank you for having me on your show.
All right. There you go. And here it is in a nutshell. This is why Wisconsin matters today. If Susan Crawford wins, Democrats are going to be able to disproportionately redraw the congressional maps in Wisconsin to literally eliminate Republican seats. That's why this is important. And it will have a ripple effect far beyond the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So this is why it's important for us to pay attention to what's happening there. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You just heard the congressman on our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. America is back, and it is time to stand with the bank that shares our values. Old Glory Bank is that bank. They support hardworking Americans, small businesses, and your constitutional rights. No cancel culture, no woke nonsense. OldGloryBank.com/Stearns. Go and check them out. Be a part of something bigger. That's OldGloryBank.com/Stearns. You can trust this FDIC-insured bank created to protect your privacy, security, and liberty. OldGloryBank.com/Stearns. All right. Pardon me, folks. I'll tell you what, these allergies this season, geez, hello. We have a great show lined up for you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Watch the Todd Stern Show. You can do that on Newsmax.com or your OTT platform, Roku, Rumble, you name it. You'll be able to watch us on all of those channels. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is Sunny Hostin. And she is one of the squawking magpies on The View. And she is just so infatuated by the fact that Senator Cory Booker has delivered a, 15, 16, 17-hour floor speech on the Senate, cut 10.
But I love what Cory Booker is doing. I love what Senator Cory Booker is doing. You know, in recent years, you've seen these sort of marathon filibusters. That's not exactly what he's doing because there's nothing on the floor right now to vote. If there's something on the floor coming to vote, sometimes a senator will get on the floor and just take up tons of time during a marathon to stall the vote, right? That's a filibuster. He's not doing that. But We're in a constitutional crisis, people. We are. I don't care what anyone says. We are. We're there right now. And we need that kind of energy coming from the Democrats. People feel that no one is fighting for them. And when I look at Cory Booker, I feel like Cory Booker is fighting for them. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I just don't know how they find these people, such ignorant women, to come out and spew this nonsense. I mean, if you want to talk about a constitutional crisis, well, let's talk about these federal judges that are stopping President Trump's agenda. These federal judges, activist judges appointed by Democrats, think they have more power than the President of the United States. So if you want to talk about a constitutional crisis, we can have that conversation, but I don't think it's going to go the way that Sonny Hostin and the rest of the squawking magpies over on The View think it's going to go. All right, folks, tonight on ToddStearns.com, we're going to keep you updated on all of the developments coming out of Florida and Wisconsin. We will be providing breaking news coverage, so be sure to check out our website a little bit later on this evening. Also, welcome to all of our new listeners, and head over to the website. You'll be able to download for free our podcast and our newsletter. Great resources for you as we stand together and take back America. All right, folks, get out there. Have a good one. Be safe. Be good, America.